Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, readying a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Portland Public Schools may cut as many as 200 jobs. The Death House doctor's license has been suspended.
Damn.
An audio of the Portland masseuse who called Al Gore a crazed sex poodle may be made public.
Fantastic. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And a special note to our friends who are listening on mobile devices or who wish to become a mobile listener. You can find out more about how to listen to this program at mobile.pdx.fm, mobile.pdx.fm. And now, without further ado, I give you Legion of News.
The Portland Public School Board will meet on Tuesday, June 29th, to discuss possible budget cuts. Superintendent Carol Smith is recommending the cuts. In a letter of two families, Smith stated, quote, "Over the last 15 years, we have cut budgets repeatedly and tried as much as we can to protect our classrooms, our teaching jobs, and our students' school experience. This year, I must recommend difficult cuts that will cost valued employees their jobs, and that will be felt at every school by every student." Smith is recommending $11.6 million be cut from school staffing for a total of 126 teaching positions, $4.6 million from special education and English as a second language, which would eliminate a total of 52 full-time teaching positions, and $3.1 million from central support and operations, which includes administration, finance and payroll, transportation, building maintenance, and more, and that would cut 25 full-time positions. A fitness specialist told KGW that he doesn't think it's a good idea to cut physical education from Portland schools. "You've got a lot of developmental issues that can occur if you don't stay active when you're a kid," said A.J. Kinnerath of Providence St. Vincent.
Is that just code for becoming a spherical load of non-activity? Is that what he's talking
yes.
about there?
All right, developmental issues being, I can't get off the couch. All I can do is move my thumbs on the Wii.
I seem to be developing some turgidity from watching the girls play volleyball on the other side of the gym. not right now, you understand.
Not right
I
this
mean,
second?
Sort of in theory. Because otherwise, I'm left with the conclusion that he's talking about the social interaction that one develops during a heated game of pickleball, which I don't think is accurate. Also,
what is pickleball?
Pickleball is a thing that they play in Washington State.
Okay.
You know, I've learned that no one outside of Washington, in fact, no one really outside of King County, for the most part, knows what pickleball is. Bill Gates actually played. Bill Gates and I have much in common. We played a lot of pickleball growing up. Not he and I together, but sort of, you know. In parallel worlds on a separate... I don't know what I'm talking about.
Is this a game that is played with teams?
No, if
do
I...
Do you have names for your pickle teams?
If I recall... I have a name for my pickle team, Don. Would you like to know what it is? Zam! I'm sorry. The Rick Emerson cavalcade of euphemisms begins at 1 o'clock. This is an entirely different and much more serious program.
No, this is journalism, my friend.
That's right. It's journalism 10... It's 10.5. It's not really it's journalism one, not even 101. The thing about pickleball is that it's played, if I remember correctly, I think pickleball is a sort of unholy combination of wiffle ball and ping pong. That may or may not be accurate. I might just be fabricating that out of bits and pieces of memories in my own head. But I think it was like a wiffle ball, which seems like a thing that was designed for the aforementioned special ed class, by the way. You know, when I think about it now, I don't even know what the wiffle ball exists for. That's for like kids that are where the softball is just too much.
I always thought that was for like little kids so they can swing the bat at it really hard, but it's not going to go very fast so no one can get hurt.
Maybe, but I think that was the deal with softball too, because when is the last time anybody got hit with a softball? Somebody will now text in saying, well, I have a cousin who had an ocular fracture but I don't think a softball injury is actually very likely. Pickleball, if I remember correctly, is like you have ping pong paddles and then you have a wiffle ball and then you're hitting it back and forth.
Just two people just hitting it at each other?
Now that I'm saying it out
that's
loud.
That's like the stupidest sounding game I've ever heard.
Look, I don't come and pass judgment on Lick Skillet, Arkansas, or whatever you're from. Now that I'm saying it out loud, though, I'm not entirely... Look, I leap to the defense of a town I don't even like. I'm not entirely certain that I'm not actually just making that up. It sounds a little bit, when I sort of verbalize it like that, it sounds a little bit like that 43-man Squamish game that Mad Magazine made up in the 60s. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what pickleball is, Don. The point is that the kids aren't going to be able to play it anymore. Maybe we can just take that $11 million and just fund it right towards building another prison, which clearly is going to be on the horizon for the majority of these kids anyway. Is it all Portland schools everywhere, or is it just some of them?
It's the entire Portland school district.
All right. Well, so everybody's suffering
Everyone
equally.
Everyone will suffer equally.
Fantastic. Well, that's fine.
You're a random parent that is always questioned by the news to find out they think.
Is it a random parent, or is it a concerned parent?
Well, in this case, it just says parent. And her name is Anisha Holloman.
So someone with functional genitals says...
they're talking about obesity in the schools, and if you take out PE, how are they going to get physical activity?
I don't know. Maybe you could stop shoving your kids full of ding-dongs all the time.
Yeah, maybe you could actually parent.
Maybe you could padlock the refrigerator to keep your kid from bloating up into a little Pugsley. How about that, huh?
Tell your child to actually go outside once in a while and not drive him everywhere.
See, the great thing about not having children is I can just lecture with impunity. Because people will say, well, you don't know what it's like. You don't have kids. And I say, no, ma'am. I have an objective opinion because I am not in the painting, so I can see the painting.
This is one of those things that I think because I'm female, I'm supposed to be sitting here going, oh, Rick, the children. Children are adorable.
F the children.
And then, I'm a well-known, child hater.
No, here's the thing. It's not even that I don't like children. I just don't like them around me, near me, interacting with me in any way, shape, matter, manner, function, or form.
In the case of yesterday afternoon after the show, just anywhere that you can hear them behind you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the, and I'm not going to get into the old guy thing about when I was a kid, we had manners and respect. And it was probably not true then, probably never true. Being around kids is fine, I suppose for small, I can tolerate it for minute slices of time. I'm not nearly as flexible in that way as my wife is, and we're not a child having couple. We're a child free couple, and that's just sort of because I'm just a big overgrown the child myself. I'm just a big baby Huey the bastard, I can barely feed myself. So we've decided it would be a poor idea for us to have kids. She, though, has friends who have children, and she's, she's Aunt Lara, and everybody gets along great. And I think her Facebook picture at the moment is actually her with a friend. It's kind of creepy, actually. It's her with a friend's kid, and they're like, she's giving the kid like a horseback ride or whatever the hell it is. The kid's got his, and it's all very adorable and whatever. You know why it's adorable? Because the kid goes home after like an hour and a half. The kid comes over and he hangs out and they do a thing or they, whatever it is you do to entertain children these days. You give them jumper cables and a bag of glass or something and just say, go amuse yourself. But then the mom comes to take the kid home.
Yeah.
And that's really what teachers function as for most people, even though we don't like to admit that. All of us, it's like the idea that prison is somehow rehabilitating people, and we all kind of secretly know it's not true. It's just a place for raping. Schools, less a place for physical raping, more a place for emotional and intellectual raping and then dullening.
Well, if you actually are a parent and are outraged by this, unlike apparently us, you can go to the meeting and voice your concerns. It meets the meeting is Tuesday, June 29th at 6:30 p.m. in the Blanchard Education Service Center at 501 North Dixon, where they will take comments from the public. And I will give some kind of a valuable prize if I find out someone actually stood up at the meeting and said corn is a fruit, syrup comes from a bush.
I was going to ask if you have to be a parent
thing. You can be any kind of a crackpot to a public meeting.
Not just the parental kind of crackpot.
Right.
Not just the functioning genital kind. So
you're a taxpayer, sir. You are allowed to stand up and say any stupid thing at a public meeting you want.
And I shall. That's the thing I could attend.
Yes.
I should go and just be. I should go and. What was the Gilda Radner character on SNL where she was always just a little bit off?
Emily Letella.
Was it Emily Letella?
Yes.
And she would she'd get up there and she would be.
I don't know the state capitals, but I can tell you that.
Yeah, I can't.
How sad is that?
I can't really think of an example offhand, but she would do the whole thing of, you know, it's like the Barat thing of rather than being angry about Hamas, she'd be angry about hummus or, you know, other thing. Like, I should just find some small incidental minute point, like the fact that they have recently cut back on the amount of Cajun seasoning on the tater tots in the cafeteria at, like, Cleveland High School, and go and just be disproportionately enraged about it.
Yes, yeah, so you could be just outraged that they're going to cut, like, building maintenance. Something that no one else is going to be supporting.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong.
Who will empty the trash cans?
I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm not trying to be flip about the fact that your kids are going to be shuttled off to some institution where their brains are just going to remain mushy and smooth. It sucks, but I mean, I feel like I've done my part. A, because they hork all of us. In this state where, I don't own a house, but I mean, I know if you pay property taxes, I mean, you get bent over and financially sodomized, but good. I mean, just to a really demonstrable degree. Not only that, let me tell you this. Anybody who has spent more than 30 seconds at a Plaid Pantry in the last month has stood behind some jagoff who's there buying a fistful of lottery tickets that will get him nothing, which will only require him to come back the next week and buy lottery tickets. All of that money supposedly going to the schools. So I really
not to tantalize, but just the flip side of this. We will have a story later in the show about two parents who tried to sell their daughter outside a Walmart for $25.
Not even renting. No. Hold on, selling.
Just sell her.
Anyway, so I think we've done our part. You know what I mean? We smoke, we drink, we buy lottery tickets, and then we let the man ream us for like 33% on our taxes. So my conscience is I can wash my hands of this pilot style. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
The Oregon Medical Board has suspended the license of a Portland psychiatrist who intended to open a home for assisted suicide. As we discussed yesterday, I believe, Dr. Stuart Weisberg planned to open a Death with Dignity house in southeast Portland that would sell people catering and flowers and videotaping of their assisted suicide. He had said he had watched a TV interview with Dr. Jack Kevorkian, and that had inspired him in this venture.
Here's the thing you don't want to say when you're being interviewed, by the way. I was inspired by Dr. Jack Kevorkian, because that will immediately put you on the radar of somebody that you don't want to know about you.
His proposed assisted suicide house drew strong negative reaction from George Egme, the executive director of Compassion at Choices of Oregon, the former state lawmaker instrumental in the passage of Oregon's Death with Dignity law. He called it the commercialization of death with dignity. Today, the state medical board released a statement saying that the board took their action, suspending his license, based on its immediate concerns regarding the safety and welfare of the licensee's current and future patients.
Let me understand this. They're concerned about the safety and welfare of people who, by definition, would only be going to this place because they want to die.
Yeah.
All right. And we don't want to commercialize the death with dignity. The only kind of death we want to commercialize is the kind that takes 70 years and leaves you covered in bed sores and your relatives financially destitute.
Yeah, I don't think that what this guy was doing was, it didn't sound particularly, it didn't necessarily sound quite unethical. It just mostly sounded tacky, just extremely tacky. It skated that kind of moral thing. It sounded very much like a man who's just like, here's somewhere I can make a buck. On the other hand, though, you know, the medical board censures this guy, but you can't drive 100 feet without seeing a billboard for liposuction. Wow. So I think they kind of apple pick what they're going to be outraged about.
Well, I guess my thing is that, I mean, even if he's just doing it to make a buck, I mean, 98% of the things that you have found useful or functional in your life or that make your existence more bearable or more pleasant were developed by some guy who's just trying to make a buck. Yeah. Speaking of which, the Rick Emerson Show will be coming up today at 1 p.m. You can listen to that for a mere $6.99 every month. That's just 32 cents a show, friends. That's less than the price of coffee was in 1983 when Struthers began talking about how you could support a child. But this isn't a child in some abstract country far away that you can't touch or see. Not that you can come touch and see me. I'd have to speak to somebody about that probably. But this is for a child named Rick right here in Portland. That comes up at 1 o'clock. You can find that more at rickemerson.com. My thing about the Death with Dignity guy in Selwood, though, is, I mean, even if he's doing it for a buck, like, what do you care? I mean, as long as the end product is satisfactory, and it may be tacky, But it's not like anybody's forcing you to go there someday if you've got Alzheimer's.
I was going to say that. It's not like there are these people that are luring pregnant teenagers in with faux counseling and then, like, forcing them to watch, you know, anti-abortion videos or something. You know, if you go to this guy, you already know what you're getting into.
Well, and tacky, I think, is a little bit of a relative state anyway because there are certain times when things that would normally be tacky are not. Like, we've all had the thing about when you're in love and you found your soulmate and nobody has ever loved as deeply and as truly as you, and you turn on the radio and you hear that Carpenter song and you say, by God, it's true. We have only just begun. It's a glorious thing, something that you would normally find repellent. See also what people do when babies are born and when old people die. Because Lara's grandmother died, and this is one of those times where I have to apologize if your parents are listening, and then they tell you that you should have married somebody better, which is almost certainly true, but for different reasons. We went to her grandmother's funeral. I mean, I hate to sound like I'm busting on her family, because I do that all the time, but we're there, and it's like her grandmother's in a casket and whatever, and I understand that it's difficult, but one of the relatives is there with a video camera. And he's just getting a close-up zoom shot of the grandmother's face. Like, when is it you're going to bust out that videotape? Like, at what party are you going to be so low on entertainment? Hey, remember that time we went to the funeral for Grandma? Hold on, let me dig this out. I have no idea why you would be videotaping not just the actual funeral. I mean, it's the definition of a still shot. She's dead. She's not moving. You could use a camera. The video camera just seems like overkill at that point.
Maybe he's some kind of secret funeral fetishist.
But even so, don't you figure you could get one just like Polaroid of somebody in a casket? Here's the thing. If you're taking videotape of somebody, because all the other footage is going to look the same.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in any event, so I think the commercialization of death, that ship has already sailed to the gray havens. Here's Dawn Taylor.
The Portland woman who accused former Vice President Al Gore of sexually assaulting her could be heard in her own words soon, as Portland police are set to release an audio statement, according to a Portland police spokesperson. The audio recording involves details accusing Gore of groping, kicking, and kicking? Not kicking. There was no kicking.
I think you said yesterday that there was kicking. This was after the abdominal rubbing and after the groaning and after the call me Mr. Stone.
There was unwanted kissing, not kicking.
Is that a misprint? Did somebody say kicking?
No, I might have said kicking before because I'm not so good with the words sometimes.
Does the actual news story say there was kicking?
No, there was no kicking.
Oh, that was just you mangling the English
language.
Apparently so. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right.
He was accused of groping, kissing, and unwanted conduct. The alleged abuse took place at the Hotel Lucia in a hotel room in October 2006.
Is that the joint downtown? Is that where the hotel? I'm thinking of the Vintage.
It's
hotel.
Somewhere downtown.
It's somewhere down there. All right.
A close friend of the massage therapist who accused former Vice President Al Gore of repeated unwanted sexual contact says the woman was not after money and just wanted Gore held accountable. Donna Burley. Who has now we have the name of a friend of the massage therapist.
Well, what is the name of the massage?
We don't know yet. They're not telling us yet. But
of course not.
But we know she's friends with someone named Donna Burley, who apparently has no problems stepping forth and talking to the press about this.
When she's not watching her stories.
She said that her friend wouldn't identify the alleged attacker when she first told her what happened, but Burley soon figured it out.
How would you possibly figure out? I'm sorry. I hate to interject right now. I know that we're only like four words into the story. There are 6 billion people on the earth. Let's say 3 billion of them are men. 300 million people live in the United States. How would you, quote, figure it out?
Well, Donna Burley says she told me that her predator was coming back to town. And guess what was on the news? Al Gore.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly the conclusion you would come to. Of all of the people who are passing through all the gin joints in all the world, it must be Al Gore. Jesus, God almighty.
Burley said her friend is an honest woman and would never make up such a story.
No, of course not.
She said the massage therapist runs a professional business and was caught off guard by Gore's alleged advances. She's not looking for money, Burley said. She just wants him to be accountable for his actions.
Not accountable enough that you'll actually talk to the police or let anybody know your real name or anything. Yeah. You know, that's
or have followed through on this 4 years ago when it actually happened.
Yes, right.
Gore was in town, by the way. We were trying to figure out why he was here in 2006. He was in town campaigning for Kulongowski. So Anyway,
well, campaigning takes a lot out of a guy. Sometimes you need a good grope to refresh yourself.
The therapist is quoted as having told investigators, "I was shocked and I did not massage beyond what is considered a safe non-sexual area of the abdomen." He further insisted and acted angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. "I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors or sexual behaviors."
It appeared he was demanding sexual favors. So she claims on the one hand that he was groping and kissing her, but that it only appeared that he wanted some kind of sexual contact. She still was. She couldn't quite suss it out. That was a needle she couldn't, intellectually, that was a needle that couldn't quite be threaded sufficiently.
I'd be interested in knowing how many massage therapists, I sincerely wonder how often as a massage therapist, if you're a woman, you actually do have a client who's a man who intimates that he would like there to be something a little more, you know, sexual in the experience.
I don't know. I was going to say that I get massages a lot, and that's not really true. One of the things, I have this, this is how sad radio is, that I now have a standard operating procedure for whenever I get fired. I have a list of things I immediately cut out of my budget and a list of adjustments that I make to my outgoing expenses. It's sort of like in, you know, like in Failsafe, where these, you know, the Russians, sir, they're launching a nuclear attack, and the guy reaches, and there's the envelope that he takes out, and it has the checklist for what you do in the event of an attack by Ivan. So I have all of these things that I immediately reduce my cable television to the lowest possible level. You know, $199 a month is just too much. I have to go down to $4. So I do that. I lower my cell phone plan if I can. You know, if I have, like, software updates or website subscriptions or whatever, you know, it's like I'll see, like, which ones are those. Like, the Rick Emerson Show, of course, would be considered a utility at this point and crucial and something I couldn't do without. Other websites, perhaps, I could, you know, scale down a bit. But I am a huge fan of the massage. The massages. Sometimes you'll see those surveys or stories going that say 49% of British women say that they would prefer shopping for handbags to sex. And they'll list other things that women or men will find. But I won't say that a massage is better than sex, but I would say done well. I mean, it's like, right. I mean, that's like a nose and nose competition. I mean, it's one of life's real. That and a perfectly prepared glass of iced tea. Some of life's real joys. So I have had a fair amount of experience with, like, the actual real massage. And maybe I'm just more cautious, but I am always so terrified, not of the actual arousal. That's what guys, I think, are normally afraid of, that they'll have some sort of tumescence while they're on the table. And I don't think I could do that. I could neither achieve nor sustain because I'm just so filled with fear that I will accidentally give her the impression that I'm wanting her to, you know, to give me a hand with something. But
obviously you still manage to relax enough to enjoy the massage.
You're
not laying there all tense and shivering.
It depends because can I ask you this, Don? Sure. I know that you're a journalist, but you've had the massage, like a, you know, the real professional massage.
Only once.
What?
I've only ever once had a massage.
I don't understand people who either have only ever had it once or have never gotten a massage. I mean, and it's a little pricey, but I mean, you're only alive for a set number
really
of years.
It's not really that. It's more that I'm just...
You're just not into it?
No, it's the whole thing about, like, taking my clothes off and laying down and having some stranger touch me places. I feel awkward about that.
And I guess maybe it's a thing that I shouldn't be into, because I got a whole touching thing and I don't really care to be hugged or looked at or, you know, whatever. But you know, massage, though, it's a wholly different thing. But in any event, the only time, you know, as for me as a man, when you get nervous is because they'll sometimes say, you call up and you go, can I come and get a massage at some point? And they'll go, okay, do you have a preference for male or female, a massage therapist? And I say, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It's like, I don't have hang-ups on that either way. But if it's, fortunately, it's almost never a hot girl. I mean, it's always a girl who looks like her name is like Bernice, you know, and like she probably installs a lot of aluminum siding on the weekend. But sometimes it'll be, you know, like some girl just off the plane from Sweden or something, and, you know, like named Inga, and she'll bounce in the door and like you hear bells and chimes in the air, and it smells of daffodils. And so you're laying there and she'll give you the massage and they'll say, like, you just dress down to your level of comfort, sir, which means you can either be nude or you could be in your boxers, you could be in the whatever. And I was just going to my boxers. But then they'll do like, because I get this thing where I get a lot of pain and stress. And when I keep a lot of stress in my legs. And so I would say, like, if you could just focus my legs, that'd be swell. And so they'll do the legs. And then there's always that moment when, like, the hand is sort of at the thigh area where you think, all right. Just think about wicker furniture, and we're going to get through this, and it's all going to be fine. It's not going to be any trouble at all, don't you? Okay, now we're done. We're almost done. No, we're pretty... No? No? Just... Okay. And all right, number done. And turn over, and then you turn, and then see. Then once you turn over onto your stomach, then it's fine. Then it's like you know. Then you can really relax because you know that whatever might or might not happen will be. That'll just be between you and the Lord. But I am terrified of the idea that I might somehow indicate. I am always on. It's like when I get pulled over by a cop, and you're on your best behavior, the best behavior you could possibly imagine. When I am getting a massage, I am the same way. I make sure to always look away if it's a woman directly in the eye, and I'm always and I make sure that that I'm covered before she walks into the room, and that I'm never whatever, because that must happen all the time. You know?
I have no that was my question. I really don't know. It may be one of those things that happens far less than you would think, because people do go to massage therapists for specifically to get a massage, and there is a difference between the happy ending sort of masseuse and an actual therapeutic masseuse. So I don't know.
Maybe it's just such that we can talk about this. We should talk about this more next hour.
Let's talk about this.
I'm going to file this away
later.
For next hour. I have many questions about this.
We have much news to get
to. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News Desk.
The ex-husband of a New Jersey school teacher was stabbed more than 80 times and who was, I'm sorry, let's try this again. The ex-husband of a New Jersey school teacher who was stabbed more than 80 times and beaten to death was found Thursday night in Puyallup, Washington, and taken into custody. Officials say Anthony Novellino, 63, disappeared after his ex-wife's killing on Saturday. He was found hiding at a hotel in Puyallup, and
that's the second time. You're getting closer.
Am I circling around it and narrowing
Puyallup.
It? Puyallup?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I see. It's part of the way I wrote it down. I wrote
Did you write it phonetically?
I did.
How'd you write it? How'd you spell it phonetically?
Puyallup. So I think it was Puyallup.
But spell it the way that you wrote it for yourself.
Pew-Yallup.
Okay, well, that's more or less correct. It's just that's one of those things where the vowel could go either way.
Well, yeah. And the Y is wrong. I want Puyallup, not Puyallup.
I suppose.
See, there we are.
All right.
Thank you. We now know where it was, though.
Yes, we do.
Puyallup. He disappeared after his ex-wife's killing on Saturday. He was found hiding out in a hotel in Puyallup and now is being held for questioning. Novellino is described as a person of interest in the killing of 62-year-old Judith Novellino, whose brutally beaten and stabbed body was found Saturday by her daughter at the Denville, New Jersey home where they both lived. The couple had divorced on June 8th. She was an English teacher at Morris Catholic High School. Judith Novellino had rented an apartment a short time before her death and was at the Denville home on Saturday to retrieve personal belongings. At the time, she believed that her ex would not be there. Authorities say Anthony Novello, a security guard, is held on a charge of making terroristic threats against his ex-wife's divorce lawyer and is awaiting extradition to New Jersey. The criminal complaint alleges that Novellino put attorney Marianne McClone in imminent fear of death with the threat, "I will get even with you, and you will pay."
Being a divorce lawyer must be one of the most high-risk professions you can possibly imagine. I mean, it's not like lawyers are really the top of everybody's favorite list anyway, but I don't think there is any lawyer. I mean, with the possible exception of maybe, I don't know, maybe like a guy who specializes in child custody or something, or some sort of lawyer who just deals with suing you for damages or repossessions. But I would think even divorce probably outstrips all of that anyway. If you're a divorce lawyer, the list of people who want to see you chopped up into tiny little lawyer pieces must just be endless at all times. Also, really, I hate to be flip about this, but if you're because the deal is she divorced the guy, right? But she because he was seemed a little unstable and whatever, and he was making terroristic threats, and then she went back to the house to get the stuff. Yeah, just send somebody to get that for you.
Yeah.
You know, just call U-Haul. Just say, "I got some things. Go over and pay." If a guy's there, he might try to kill you. But, you know, just if you could grab, like, my armoire and just bring it to me, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I had a bad ex at one point, and things ended after he got a little physical. And he had to come. It was my house, and I kicked him out. And when he came, was coming by to pick up a bunch of stuff, I basically exited and asked my ex-husband and one of his friends, because my ex-husband's a really nice guy, and asked if they would
give him a talking to?
Or no, they would just be there when he was there, partly to make sure that he didn't take anything that he shouldn't be taking,
right.
And also just so that I wasn't there and I didn't have to see him or deal with him again. I mean, again, though, these people are in their early 60s. As horrible a man as he probably was, obviously with anger issues, it probably didn't occur to her that he would stab her more than 80 times and beat her to death.
Well, okay.
Although that is a man, that is a man who is angry.
I was going to
say. Very, very angry.
You know, it just seems from, and this is the last thing, because I mean, this is all sort of rearview mirror stuff at this point, but I will say, the guy who stabs you 80 times and beats you to death, that's probably not the first time he's decided to put his hands on you. So, a little word to the wise out there. Yeah, the first time Mr. Hand becomes Mr. Fist and Mr. Fist meets Mr. Face, it's time to go. So,
I'm also, the part of the story that I would like to hear more about is how he ended up fleeing New Jersey to Puyallup, Washington.
I don't know, but being extradited from Puyallup to New Jersey is just like going from the frying pan into a sewer.
I mean, was he in New Jersey and he just looked at a map and said, what is the furthest place in the continental United States? Just straight across.
What is a city
where
that
would I go?
No one cares about? Where is a place where there is no law or communication of any kind, where they don't even know how to use chairs? Puyallup! All right. I could have gone to Enumclaw, I suppose. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
A 5-year-old boy was taken to a hospital after fire crews found him unconscious on the side of a pool, fire officials said, in Vancouver, Washington. A Clark County Fire District 6 spokeswoman said crews were called to the Discovery Park Apartments in the 9200 block of Northeast 15th Avenue at about 5 p.m. on Wednesday. So this was actually day before yesterday. Firefighters found the boy on the side of the pool. He was not breathing, but had a heart rate. He was taken to Legacy Salmon Creek Hospital. The boy's mother told fire crews he was sitting and coughing on the side of the pool, and when she looked again, he was unconscious in the water.
Well, all right then.
There's not a lot to say about that one. It's just, the news isn't all funny. This is news.
You'll note that I am sitting here when not making, I'm making comments that are neither pithy nor glib at this point. Right.
A New York web designer for the fashion house Gucci surprised his neighbors by revealing that he built a nuclear reactor in a Brooklyn warehouse.
That is surprising. Very often when they say surprise people by saying, and then it's really just like,
he has a wooden leg.
I got a new pair of shoes and they're sparkly. That really is authentically shocking.
Mark Suppes, a 32-year-old amateur physicist with a passion for sustainable energy, constructed the $40,000 homemade fusion reactor in his spare time.
I'm sorry. I'll take least successful Match.com profile for $1,000, Alex. Wow. I like to talk about quasars.
He is the 38th independent physicist in the world to achieve nuclear fusion from a self-built reactor and forms part of a growing community of fusioneers.
And felons, I would imagine. What do you mean he just built a nuclear reactor? I mean, I understand what all those words mean, and I understand what they mean when they're strung together in a sentence, but I don't understand what any of that actually means. Like, you can't just go to the... I think, as Christopher Lloyd taught us all, unless you know a bunch of Libyans, it's not like you can just get sufficient material, I think, to cause an ongoing nuclear reaction.
Well, to create a fusion reactor, you don't actually need uranium or plutonium, so they're actually perfectly legal.
Is that a thing you actually just knew right now without having to look at the paper, or is it a thing you knew because you were researching this story earlier? Be honest. Don't lie to me.
That's a thing I knew because it's on the paper I'm holding in my hand. And I was able to say it in a conversational tone, so for a moment it sounded like I was smart.
I would say your colloquial delivery actually did pull the wool entirely over my eyes there. I would have, if you told me right now that you just known it, I would have bought that hook, line, and sinker.
But
and
I would not say hot, that because that would have been a lie.
No, we don't traffic in and falsehoods here,
Don. I will never lie to you.
No, of course not. No. I will lie to you many, many times.
The so-called fusioneers are trying to discover how to produce energy by fusion, a process that currently consumes more energy to run than it creates. I was inspired because I believed I was looking at a technology that could actually work to solve our energy problems, and I believed it was something that I could at least begin to build, he said. So there you go. He built his own $40,000 nuclear reactor.
But I mean, this story is very unsatisfying. First of all, I don't like the idea that there's a process running somewhere that consumes more energy than it creates.
Yeah.
Because that makes me feel like at some point the Earth is just going to get sucked down into a giant singularity. I guess a giant singularity is a contradiction. But you know what I mean? That's one of those things that you would see in like a bizarre Futurama episode, which, by the way, came out. Futurama debuted again last night, their sixth season. They returned to the air last night. We'll talk about that later on today in the Rick Emerson Show. But, you know, where I picture a guy plugging in a blender or something, but it's a blender that consumes far more energy than it expels. And then eventually the whole world is just reduced down into one thing the size of a walnut that weighs 900 gigatons or something.
Well, many things consume more energy than they actually create.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, your oven, for example, it uses a great deal of electricity or gas for the amount of heat that it actually provides.
Yeah, I know, but when you add the fact that it's a nuclear reactor somewhere, it just seems like that's going to open a wormhole into someplace unpleasant. Also, it doesn't say where he built it. I mean, was it like, was it in the shed out back? Was it on his kitchen counter?
It was in a warehouse. So he was, I don't.
Just like one of those you store it places?
It's at a Brooklyn warehouse. So I imagine he was like down by the docks, like those places that the Sopranos would go, except that instead of storing stolen hams and firearms, he was building a reactor.
Some of those where he's checking out the, what will you be using the space for, sir? Business, personal, nuclear reactor, check. All right. Well, fair enough.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, yeah, if he was completely forthcoming with the landlord about what he was using the space for.
What's all that racket in there? It's my Sega Genesis, sir. All right. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
The Bazaz family of Lake Oswego.
Are you suddenly from Trenton?
The Bazaz family.
The Bazaz family won't get off my lawn.
The Bazaz family of Lake Oswego. Come on.
Sorry. Amity means friendship.
These people in Lake Oswego demolished what was left of their home in the summer of 2009 after a landslide slammed into the back of their property. Alan and Fatma Bazaz.
Fatma Bazaz.
Are now suing their uphill neighbor, William Howell.
Wow.
William Howe the Third.
No, stop. Stop. I have to just get my breath for a second. William Howell the Third.
Howe. I kept saying Howell. I think I was thinking of Mr. Howell.
Yes, so was I. So
William
was everyone.
William Howe. H-O-W-E.
Oh, well, that's less. Okay,
like Elijah Howe.
I suppose that's actually...
Elias Howe.
It's all for the best that it's not Howell the Third, because that would just make this... I'm still back on Fatma Bazaz.
But you can already see that there was probably tensions here. You've got the Fatma Bazaz.
Fatma?
And Fatma. It's probably pronounced Fatma, not Fatma.
But not Fatima? Isn't a third syllable stuck in it?
Fatma.
What's
an actual name.
But I mean, of what extraction? I know it's an actual name. It's in the story. I'm just saying, from what kind of, what, like, ethnicity or gender, or,
I don't know.
What country is
that? We live in a time where we don't put people's ethnicities in news stories because I believe people think that would be racist.
Well, but everybody is looking at that and wondering
I'm thinking it's Middle Eastern in some fashion.
And see, I would hope that if it is Middle Eastern, that it's like a first generation thing where the parents just moved here, like right before she was born or whatever. Because otherwise, you got a cruel freaking parent that gave their daughter a name whose first syllable is fat, which just seems like you're, unless you're really just trying to toughen the kid up somehow.
Well, her husband's name is Alan Bazaz. And so you wonder if Alan is actually an Americanization of a different. Can I read the story?
I'm just going to say we also live in a time where people are allowed to just make up names from just like random letters that they see in a refrigerator poetry set. So
the whole rest of the story is just going to be anticlimactic because we've spent so much time.
Let's get back to Fatma Bazaz.
Alan and Fatma Bazaz are suing their uphill neighbor, William Howe III, for negligence in the landslide because he topped and girdled trees that they believe contributed to the landslide. They say that the neighbor, William Howe III, cared more about his great view than his neighbor's safety when he girdled, topped, and removed trees in the area of the hill.
I'm sorry. He girdled, topped?
He girdled, topped, and removed trees.
Not a curdle top.
No, he girdled them.
That sounds like a pastry that would be really popular, like in Venezuela.
You really don't want me to read this story, do you?
There's just much here I don't understand.
You don't want to
know. You know, here's the thing. We live in an age of information overload, and so as you're reading this, all I'm seeing is a bunch of hyperlinks on these different words, like when you say curdle top or whatever, or Fatma Bazaar or whatever her name is, and I just want to click on that and open it in a separate tab. And
these wealthy Lake Oswego bastards suffered a terrible tragedy.
That's, by the way, the assessment of Don Taylor.
I'm trying.
Rick Emerson is viewing them with respect and in a totally non-litigious fashion. I'm sorry.
They're probably lovely people.
What is girdling and topping in terms of a tree?
Well, topping is when you cut the top off of the trees. You just cut the tops off. Rather than pruning them properly, it's called topping. You cut that.
So you just take the whole, like, top 10 feet off or something?
Right.
Okay.
The girdling part, I really don't know what that means.
But it contributed to a landslide?
Well, yes.
In their assertion?
While showing pictures of the trees girdled with Howe's permission, the Bazaz's attorney said Howe removed an anchor for the soil and created an increasingly unstable situation in the area that had already experienced two other landslides in the last 15 years. He also drained his stormwater to an area near the landslide.
I'm sorry. I'm not really laughing at that. I'm just, no. It just, I remember seeing the photos of this house and how, I mean, have you seen the pictures of what happened here?
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things you don't really anticipate happening. You know, you just wake up in the morning and you have your glass of carrot juice and you're, you know, opening the curtains and facing another, holy God, there's a wall of dirt! And then it's just, you know, and it's just coming right at you. And I like the idea that right up above, there was just a guy, like, draining 9 million gallons out of his swimming pool or whatever into a thing where he had just removed all the trees and thinking, well, what's the worst that can happen? We'll find out. All right.
Their home was built in 2002, and it was created without the consultation of geotechnical engineers who could have addressed the risk, Howe's attorney said, claiming that it was actually the Bazaz's fault for living in a steep area known for a high risk of landslides.
That is awesome. I love the stones on the guy who just, he comes in there, the whole house has been destroyed, and he goes, and it's your fault.
It's your fault for living here underneath of me.
Bam.
The Howe's attorney also presented a 2003 inspection report that recommended further review of the site, the slope, and the soil stability, saying, this house, ladies and gentlemen, was an accident waiting to happen.
Excellent. There you go. It is Legion of News. It is 12:40 on this Friday. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock today on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll have a religious nutcase watch, another installment of Pop Culture Authority. Today we answer this question. Is that, in fact, just a bunch of gibberish in the WKRP in Cincinnati closing theme song? Are there any real lyrics at all? We'll also be joined by special guests Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler, who are getting ready for their listener party for Fun Employment Radio, which that in turn happens tomorrow night at the Hawthorne Theater at 39th and Hawthorne. You are listening to Legion of News, also available on your mobile device at mobile.pdx.fm. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
We should probably do a little entertainment news at this point.
Here's entertainment news with Don Taylor.
Mel Gibson has filed for a restraining order against Oksana Grigori... God.
Please tell me it's Oksana...
Now I'm afraid to say any name. Grigorieva. Let's say it's pronounced Grigorieva.
I would say your fear was totally unfounded. That went flawlessly.
Grigorieva. Uh-huh. Oksana Grigorieva, his ex-girlfriend and mother of his seven-month-old daughter, Lucia. The Oscar winner, 54, and the Russian musician singer, 40, had been together about a year when they broke up in April 2010. While at the time of the split, a friend of the couple told People magazine, they're still friends, and they'll both raise Lucia together. It appears that since then, their relationship has become less amicable. Grigorieva is living in Sherman Oaks, California, in a home owned by Gibson, which she has been doing since their split. She was reportedly served the legal papers there. Gibson's rep had no comment.
I'm so confused about this whole thing because the thing about Mel Gibson is there's like a before and after, I think, for everybody. And that is before he was drunk in traffic screaming about, are you a Jew? And then there's after he was drunk in traffic screaming, are you a Jew? And after... I think I just immediately routed all of the Mel Gibson news that happened kind of into this spam folder in my head. And I didn't really kind of stop tracking it. Because wasn't at one point he was married to the same woman for like a million years and they had 50 kids and they're Catholic and whatever. So since then, let me understand this. Since then, he's been divorced. He's been remarried or was she just the mother of his kid?
She was just the mother of his kid. She was
okay, but he's been divorced, got the girlfriend pregnant, had the kid, split up with the girlfriend amicably.
I believe getting the girlfriend pregnant may have had something to do with the divorce.
Wait, so one happened concurrent with the... Okay, so it wasn't like he dumped the wife and then went and found the new, you know, the new version.
No, it's hard to tell. Who knows?
All right.
The thing is, being Catholic... You know, be probably put off and not having gone on the record for years saying that he didn't believe in birth control, blah, blah, blah.
Clearly.
His father is like a Vatican I Catholic.
Yeah.
And so they're a little retro. And so obviously he probably put off getting divorced as long as possible because that's a sin.
Of course.
So waited until the girlfriend was actually knocked up before they filed the papers.
And so now the girlfriend, though, she's dumped him or they've split up somehow. And it was amicable, but now... Yes. No longer. Okay. Someday when I'm president, by the way, there will be a dictatorial order put into place, and it will forbid the issuing of irreconcilable differences as a cause for divorce. You will be, in fact, and especially if you're a celebrity couple, we're going to start with them and work our way down. Someday when I'm the grand, irremovable dictator of the entire universe, you will not be allowed to cite irreconcilable differences. If you want a celebrity divorce, you must go on television, and you must be strapped to a polygraph while telling us exactly why your wife is dumping you. And if there's any sort of and every time you lie, you will forfeit another 5% of your estate to me, Rick Emerson.
Jason Bateman enraged about 2,000 people in line to get new iPhones in Los Angeles when he was escorted out of line and inside by employees. The line was wrapped all the way around the store when Jason Bateman, 41, arrived, and. Everyone literally started booing and hissing, a source told Us Magazine.
I mean, what is the... Jason Bateman spent like 15 years in the wilderness where no one even remembered who he was. They would just kind of look at him and squint occasionally, and they'd say, are you... No, you're not. Were you... Oh, I know who you are. You're that guy that used to stand next to Ricky Schroeder. And then that was it. That was like the extent of his. And then he was part of Arrested Development. For my money, he gets a pass forever. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, another witness said the crowd freaked and booed, and he put his head down.
Oh, honestly, what doesn't an Apple crowd do? Why don't you just shut it? I mean, you know, I might have to wait 5 seconds longer to get my $9,000 iPhone. Oh, the humanity. I mean, really, is that... You've waited for the iPhone... I mean, if you're standing in line, you're already kind of zen with the fact that, you know, you're waiting. Because that's what standing in line is. It's waiting. So the idea that they're going to escort some other guy in ahead of you, who presumably is not impacting your wait time at all, because, you know, it's not like Jason Bateman goes inside and the whole store suddenly has to, you know, stop. Like it takes 15 people to serve him or whatever.
And you live in Los Angeles. You'd think you'd be used to the fact that celebrities get to do things before you anyway.
Well, they're better than the rest of us, Tom.
Yes.
That's just the way that life works. I mean, look, I didn't make the laws. I just explained them.
Genealogists this week said they believe that Twilight star Robert Pattinson is related to notorious 15th century ruler Vlad the Fourth. You know, the original Dracula.
That doesn't sound at all like a thing that was probably concocted just in time for the new movie's release.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the new Twilight movie's coming out.
No.
According to the family history website Ancestry.com, which would never have concocted this as a way of sending out a press release that would get them a lot of airtime on radio shows such as this, researchers discovered that the English actor and the world's most famous vampire are related through, of all people, the British royal family.
Oh, see, now here's the thing. Here's why I'm not surprised at all that you said this. And I know I'm injecting a lot of editorial comment today, but it's Friday.
That's what you're here for.
I have many, people enjoy my curmudgeonly yet strangely lovable approach to life. Also, a lot of thoughts have been stacking up in my head over the last 7 months plus this week. When you said Twilight actor Robert Pattinson, blah, 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 they believe that he is related to, I was already finishing the sentence in my head, as is my wont occasionally, and that sentence was to royalty. Because everybody... I don't hate to paint all people with a broad brush, but every person I have ever met who is from Britain will tell you at some point in the conversation that they are related to royalty. Just like everybody you know in Utah will eventually tell you that they are related to either Joseph Smith or Brigham Young, which is, I guess, not all that hard when there's basically just three guys and 15 women and they're humping it out for like four decades.
And they're small little areas.
Yeah.
So,
But is Ancestry.com, is that the Latter-day Saint website, or is that Ancestry.org? Because that's a pretty unimpeachable source. The Mormon Church really is, they have their act together when it comes to tracing genealogy.
That I don't know. I think Ancestry.com is just a place where you can go and get information on your family tree.
But can I name a star after someone?
The Ancestry experts say that Princes William and Harry are Pattinson's distant cousins. And Vlad the Impaler was their distant uncle.
All right. Yeah, it doesn't really say here. But I will go on record as saying, I can't believe these words are about to leave my mouth. If the Mormon Church says it, it's probably true. Now, keep in mind, that's only as it relates to genealogy. That's the only sphere of life in which that statement will actually hold any water. Because they got this whole thing that if they don't, you know, that if you're not baptized, you're not going to go to heaven and be with Jesus and whatnot. So they got to baptize people who, you know, died 500 years ago, which is why they're all into tracing everybody's family tree. I love Vlad the Impaler, by the way. Vlad the Impaler, he really is one of the great historical gifts that continues to give even today.
In some deliciously overwrought press release goodness, Anastasia Tyler, a genealogist at Ancestry.com, is quoted as saying, "Tracing Patterson's family back to Vlad was difficult research, but the pieces that unraveled created the perfect accompaniment to the Twilight saga. Without any myth or magic, we find royalty and vampires lurking in Pattinson's life, making his story just as supernatural as the one he's playing on screen."
Good God Almighty. Okay.
John Lithgow and Frida Pinto are coming on board. Frida Pinto.
This Fatma Bazaz and Frida Pinto starring in.
They are both going to be in Rise of the Apes, Fox's prequel to the Planet of the Apes franchise, which will star James Franco.
Who is Frida Pinto?
I have no idea.
I really, and I'm not, this is not like the, this is not the linchpin sentence of a new Ayn Rand novel.
She actually made her acting debut in Slumdog Millionaire. So she's fairly new to.
Frida, F-R-E-D-A?
F-R-E-I-D-A.
F-R-E-I-D-A. I'm sorry, Frida Pinto.
Frida Pinto.
That sounds like, here's the thing, you know she's some impossibly hot chick that you would still be embarrassed to introduce to your friends because you'd have to say that you were having marital relations with Frida Pinto. Frida Pinto sounds like some girl who would be hanging out with Leather Tuscadero.
Well, the Planet of the Apes prequel will be directed by Rupert Wyatt and focuses on a scientist played by James Franco who's been working on a cure for Alzheimer's that's being tested on apes. The test subject named Caesar evolves rapidly and the scientist takes him home to live with him and protects him from cruel doctors. John Lithgow will play Franco's Alzheimer's stricken father. So there you go.
All right. Well, there you go. I looked up a picture of Frida Pinto. She's hot in a sort of blandly exotic way. And that's exactly the kind of term that they would use to describe her. Let's say the exotic, raven-eyed beauty. So, there you go.
And then, new on TV tonight, you will want to catch Gone Too Soon on the TV Guide Network. A look at the last years of Michael Jackson's life, incorporating footage from both before and after his death in 2009. Including interviews with people who were close to him and previously unseen video.
He was gone too soon. His face was basically half-lifing away. He was held together with putty and duct tape.
Yeah, he started disappearing a long time before he died.
I'd say bits of him died many, many years ago.
Also, at 10 p.m. on Discovery, Dual Survival, Out of Air. A cave diving adventure turns dangerous when the hosts become lost divers in a maze of caves in Belize, and their escape route leads them to a dense jungle riddled with thorns and snakes.
Is this a movie or is this like an actual
a
documentary?
Discovery Channel.
But I mean, is it a documentary or?
I'm sure that it has to be true. It's the Discovery Channel. They don't put fake things on the Discovery Channel.
All right. Well, I'd like to think about it just that because that the thing about the Discovery Channel is. I know that it sounds hopelessly naive when I say that, you know, when I watch programs like that, that I want them, so I believe that they're telling me the truth. Like, there was a little bit of a controversy with Ice Road Truckers because there's that sequence, I believe, in the first episode, I think it was in the premiere episode, first episode, first season, where the they're driving this 180,000-pound truck across this river that is, you know, that it's frozen, and so that's the, it is literally, you know, it's a temporary road made out of ice, and it cracks, and the truck sinks in there, and it's frozen. And then it came out later that that was actually a shot that was staged by the creators of the show because, and that it does happen all the time, but that there wasn't one of those extant to film. And so they wanted to do a whole, like, you know, instances such as this have happened in the past, recreated for dramatic effect. And then they blew it up with dynamite and stuck the truck in there, and the truckers themselves were kind of kvetching about it. And so then they instituted this rule on Ice Road Truckers that from then on they would not fabricate anything, that they wouldn't do anything, they wouldn't touch anything, they wouldn't screw with it, they wouldn't alter it or augment it in any way. If you saw something, it was the real deal. So I put a lot of faith in shows like that. But then you watch Man vs. Wild, which is, and what's the other one? It's Man vs. Wild, and then there's is it the Survivor Man? Is that the other one?
I don't know. There's the Bo Gritz guy who I think is Man versus Wild.
No, it's not Bo Gritz. Bo Gritz is the guy you're thinking of.
Gritz.
It looks like Gritz. It sounds like Gritz. Actually, he sounds like a big spongy blowhard bastard. But the Man versus Wild guy is not Bo Gritz. Bo Gritz is like a survivalist. Here's why when I said Survivor Man, you thought of Bo Gritz. Bo Gritz is that survivalist.
Bo Grylls.
Okay, Bo Greitz, though, is a guy from the North, and people in the Northwest know who I'm talking about when I say Bo Greitz. Bo Greitz is a survivalist nutcase that was one of the guys who tried to talk Randy Weaver out of his cabin up at Ruby Ridge.
And didn't he run for office at one point, or am I confusing him with yet another
yes.
person with a similar name?
Yes, he did run for office on a party that had a very they had a very monochromatic makeup, their party. Let's put it that way.
Bear Grylls. Apparently is his name.
Yes, because that's the, and I think that's the show, that's the one that I think that Will Ferrell was on to promote mm-hmm. Land of the Lost, where they were
yes.
like, but they were ice climbing or something. But you watch that, and he's like, and here I am trekking across the wilderness. It's been 3 days since I've eaten anything. How shall I? But then they cut to a wide shot of the guy walking through the frame, and he's like 200 yards away, and you're going, well, who's filming that?
Yeah.
And so, and maybe he, does he go over and he sticks a camera in the ground and he films his own wide shot, his own master shot?
The thing similar to that I always really detest in any kind of reality-based program is the person arriving at the other person's front door for the first time
right.
to show up, but you're seeing it from inside the house.
Right.
So the camera crew is already in the house.
Yeah.
And they're acting surprised that the person just showed up. Well, hey, hi. I loathe that because it implies that we're too stupid to figure out where the camera is coming from.
And that's my thing. Is like I have no illusions that, you know, that I'm not any illusion that television is completely real. I just ask that the lie be well crafted. That's my whole thing. It's like, you know, television is sort of like politicians and maybe some loose girl you date. You know what I mean? You can lie to me. Just make it believable. You know what I mean? The girl tells you, girl, you're the best I've ever had. I don't care if it's true or not. Doesn't really matter to me. Just make me believe it. That's really what matters. So if the TV producers can convince me, then the job is done. And that the thing about that show is it's totally unconvincing in that way.
I believe that pretty much wraps up entertainment news,
all right.
by the way.
I'm going to record that program tonight, though, because okay. a cave full of thorns and snakes. I mean, you have me at that.
Well, now it sounds like The Descent, so I keep expecting there's going to be some Gollum guy in there trying to eat their flesh.
When is the Descent? Oh, I'm thinking of actually The Cave.
Oh, did you ever see The Descent?
I did see
The women who were spelunking.
Yeah, I didn't find it to be all that. And I saw the British version, too.
I loved that movie.
It was okay. I think it had been overhyped to me.
Oh.
Because I heard this, it's the most ferocious horror film of the last 20 years. Aaron Duran, who, you know, has pretty good movie taste, you know, as far as overlapping with mine most of the time. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. He recommended it to me, though, as being one of the most frightening films he'd seen in a long time. And he made sure that I watched the British version, which has the bleak, downbeat ending.
Yeah.
It was not bad. I found it to be, it was just not quite as great.
That's
as
the problem with people
be.
Overhyping things. Because I saw it without any expectations of whether it would be good or not. And I sat there gripping my husband's hand through the whole thing going, I don't scare easy in movies. And I found it quite moving.
Yeah, it was a well-made film.
Shall we do another news story
yes.
at the end of the show?
By the way, you are listening to Legion of News. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. This is PDX.fm. This program will be archived right here at PDX.fm later on today. You can also listen on your mobile device, your smartphone, your what have you, mobile.pdx.fm. Mobile.pdx.fm, and it'll be archived at legionofnews.com as well. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, you just did that inhalation combined with a certain narrowing of the eyes that implied that you were about to say something.
Well, I was waiting for you to finish talking.
Well, everyone is. also, at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show commences, our Friday edition. Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler will be our guests today as we count down to their listener party, which is happening for Fun Employment Radio tomorrow night. We'll have a religious nutcase watch, and today's installment of Pop Culture Authority answers this question. Are there any real words to the WKRP in Cincinnati closing theme song, or is it just gibberish? That's coming up today at 1 o'clock on The Rick Emerson Show at rickemerson.com.
We do have a clarification from someone on the Survivor Man thing
All
in
right.
the text box. Someone says Les Stroud, who is Survivor Man, is actually the real deal. He carries his own camera equipment and sets up multiple shots by himself.
That's the guy I'm thinking of then. So my wife's a big, you know, she's really into the outdoors and hiking and camping and I don't know. What's this? It's a bowl of grubs. It's what the native eats. You know, natives, you know, eat. Have it. All right. And so she watches shows like that all the time because she feels like they're kindred spirits or something. And that was the thing where I saw him walking across, like through the Gobi Desert or whatever. And I'm like, well, who's. So he does actually. That's even more impressive then because that's like adding like 30% to his walking time.
Okay, well, I'm reading the story before we go.
Oh, sorry.
Two Salinas, California parents are facing felony child endangerment charges after being accused of trying to sell their 9-month-old daughter outside a Walmart for $25. Police confirmed with Action News. I love that there's actually still news called Action News. That Patrick Fusek, 38, and Samantha Tomasini, 20, were arrested Tuesday after two women reported that Fusek tried to sell them his daughter for $25 outside the Westridge Walmart. The two women, who said they didn't know if Fusek was joking or not, reported the incident to police with a description of his car. Police then traced Fusek's vehicle to an apartment in the 700 block of East Romy Lane. Police said that when officers went to the apartment, they found the child and the parents, who were high on methamphetamine. Initially, the two women thought he was joking around, said Salinas police spokesman Lalo Villegas. But he was insistent and kept telling them, "No, I want to sell you the baby." On Thursday, Fusek's brother, who did not give his name, told Action News that it was he, not Fusek, who tried to sell the child to the two women outside the Walmart for $50, and that it was a joke.
Wait, so he's trying to take the rap for his brother attempting to sell a baby outside a Walmart?
He says, "The girls knew I was kidding. Who's going to say you want to buy a baby for $50 to strangers at a Walmart?
Well,
that's preposterous."
Well, outside of Walmart, $50, no. $25, we can probably talk. Maybe, maybe $20 and a spare tire of some kind. And by the way, if you have paid a visit to Walmart anytime recently, and I have, by the way, so don't think that I'm putting myself up above the rest of the people. There's one thing that Walmart shoppers know how to do, and that's how to make their own goddamn kids. I mean, whether or not they ought to is a separate discussion altogether, but they know how to do that.
Well, the child has been placed in protective custody, and the parents were booked at the Monterey County Jail on suspicion of child endangerment, attempting to abandon a child, and being intoxicated on methamphetamine.
Well done. That is Legion of News for Friday, June 25th, 2010. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show begins at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com, featuring guests Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler today, as well as a religious nutcase watch and another edition of Pop Culture Authority. You can hear this program archived right here at pdx.fm later on today or at legionofnews.com. For Don Taylor, this is Rick Emerson saying thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. We will see you Monday. This has been
Legion of News on PDX.fm.